Hi folks, this is Tony for the A Minute to Midnight show. And with me, I have my wife, Holly. Hi, Holly.
Hi, everybody.
It's good to have you here in the same house, same studio.
I know, I'm here in New Zealand with you. And this wasn't even expected. It happened very spontaneously, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it took a little few weeks of planning, but yeah, originally I'd been planning to go over to America again, but I'm really glad it's worked out that you're here and we're both here.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm back here with you, Tony. It's been a long while since I've been in New Zealand. It's been almost 2.5 years, but you and me, we're, you know, trusting God through all this hard stuff we've been through, and so grateful to be here.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll cover more of that on in some future date. But yeah, I guess I'm just still got a little bit of my voice might be a little weak. I'll do my best, folks, today. I've also had the flu the last few days, feeling quite a bit better today. And my my recording is probably a little bit impromptu. But folks, we'll do with what some thoughts are on my mind. And Holly, I guess the big thing we want to cover today is the US election. And you left the US the day before the election.
I know a lot of people think that America was going to go crazy after the election. I actually didn't think that.
Well, it has been very quiet. So yes, traveling was easy and you got here fine. So,
and that's another coincidence that the day that I left, I didn't plan on leaving before the election. That was just something that happened also.
Yeah. So it worked out that way anyway. And I guess in one sense, you know, I feel relieved to see Trump getting into office rather than getting another 4 years of communistic leftism and a Harris presidency in America. That would have seemed like a horrible and depressing alternative for most Christians, me included, and I'm not even an American. I will be glad to see the last of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But I also have a big uneasiness within me as well that feels something is wrong about all of this too, and that we're being duped.
So, Tony, what were you thinking about the election in the United States?
Okay, Holly. Well, I have a bunch of stuff here I want to share and the concerns that I do have, even though, like I say, I feel somewhat more comfortable for Trump to be there than Harris and Biden, and yet I still have this uneasiness, and I'm going to explain to people why. I'll get straight into it, into my thoughts here. I have real question marks as to why all of a sudden, leading up to the elections towards the end and immediately afterwards, some previously Trump-bashing media publications who have for a long time done nothing but disparage Trump, why they became suddenly unbiased and didn't overtly support the Dem candidate, why they began to publish very neutral articles on Donald Trump, and even some that were saying a Trump presidency would be good for America and the world at large, and that includes New Zealand publications like stuff.co.nz and Associated Press articles and so on. And why the change all of a sudden? Could it be because those at the helm were told what to say, as always, and that it was because the real deep state, the Illuminists, the top elites, not the paper tiger deep state, but the actual controllers behind the scenes, had already determined that Trump was the man they wanted in office for the next few years, and that is what I believe is the case. The players setting up the beast system are more concerned at this time about making sure they have a man who will forward the technological agenda that they have quickly than they are about the communist ideals of the Democratic Party. Those things can wait till later. If only they have the technology in place that they need for a full control grid first, the social constructs are secondary to implement later, and when the next crisis or polycrisis occurs, they'll have the man in power who conservatives will follow over the cliff, if necessary, into the technocratic age, the new golden age, the age of AI and transhumanism, etc. Trump's use of the term our new golden age, which he's been touting quite a bit recently, should send warnings to people. Why doesn't it? Many Christians have bought into Trump being some sort of temporary savior. They've turned a blind, forgetful eye to his previous involvement in the COVID lockdowns and the vax, etc. I won't talk on it today, maybe another day I will, but Trump's 777 from his first presidency, the links to Kabbalah, and Christine Lagarde's 2014 speech on numerology in 777, the Golden Dawn in 777, and the god Apollo in the Trump Tower, and more. There's tons more. I have real concerns that there is way more occultic going on here than we see on the surface. And yet Christians, the gnar ones, the dominionist ones, are seeing Trump as somehow God's man and, you know, at least the lesser of two evils. But I'm not sure that we're not just being completely duped, and I'm going to, you know, bring a few things out here, kind of why. So for a start, we've got Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, big involvement with Trump, and that should send some warning bells to people. Okay, so look, let's look at Peter Thiel for a start. Palantir Technologies Incorporated is a public American company that specializes in software platforms for big data analytics. Headquartered in Denver, Colorado, it was founded by Peter Thiel, Stephen Cohen, Joe Lonsdale, and Alex Karp in 2003, according to Wikipedia. Peter Thiel is not only a co-founder of Palantir, but he's also chairman of the board of directors. This is AI, folks. This is AI technology. And there was an article, is Palantir a better artificial intelligence AI stock than Nvidia? Why management think it is? Despite already having a stellar year, shares of Palantir rocketed higher after the company reported a blowout third quarter last week. After soaring and then crashing in the pandemic-driven software bubble, Palantir has re-emerged this year and soared to new all-time highs as an artificial intelligence darling. That's from Yahoo Finance. So this has all just happened in the last week or two. Billionaire Peter Thiel has gained a name as one of Silicon Valley's most controversial figures. The PayPal founder went on to have a successful career in venture capital. Known as a connector, he's mentored the likes of J.D. Vance, Trump's vice president coming up, and Sam Altman. Like many billionaires, Peter Thiel is already benefiting from Donald Trump's second presidential win. The relationship between Thiel, who co-founded PayPal and Palantir, and J.D. Vance goes back to at least 2011. He helped bankroll Vance's campaign, pouring at least $15 million into his 2022 senatorial bid. And with Vance's placement on the ticket and the Trump-Vance win, Thiel has secured his standing as a conservative kingmaker and one of tech's most powerful political players. So I've taken bits of that from an MSN article. Now, in 2024, the Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel made history as the first openly gay speaker to address his sexuality in the history of the Republican National Convention. And then we have Elon Musk. Elon Musk, who wants to colonize Mars, has expressed sympathy for long-termist thinking and owns Neuralink, essentially a transhumanist company. Peter Thiel, the PayPal co-founder, has backed anti-aging technologies and has bankrolled a rival to Neuralink. Both Musk and Thiel invested in OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT. Like Thiel, Ray Kurzweil, the messiah of singularitarianism, who's now employed by Google, wants to be cryogenically frozen and revived in a scientifically advanced future. So Peter Thiel is a transhumanist, folks. Billionaires Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, and Peter Thiel all seem convinced if you follow the money that you can even buy eternal life, or rather a never-ending mortal existence. They are reportedly investing in startups that are trying to slow or stop aging and disease. And Peter Thiel in 2006 started supporting the US Transhumanist Party. He may not necessarily be involved in funding them now, but for quite some time he was. So he's a transhumanist, folks. So with Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, they've worked together for decades but are polar opposites in many ways. But they were both the co-founders of PayPal. So Elon Musk, okay, we know his brain chip startup Neuralink has raised $280 million, this was in August 2023 in Reuters, in a funding round led by Peter Thiel's founder fund, months after securing approval for its first in-human clinical trial. So Peter Thiel was supporting Musk there, right, with Neuralink, providing money. SpaceX is a private company founded by Elon Musk that aims to make humanity a multi-planetary species. Learn about its history, achievements, reusable rockets, landing and testing facilities, and the future plans for Mars and beyond. According to Peter Thiel himself, he was the first outside investor in SpaceX. So you can see Musk and Thiel have been working together a long time, and they're both obviously billionaires, and they're both in that whole transhumanism kind of thing. So Neuralink in 2021, the company said its first product known as NI1 Link would be completely invisible once implanted and transmit data via a wireless connection. Musk, who is the CEO of Neuralink as well as Tesla and SpaceX, has previously described Neuralink as a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires that go into your brain. With a direct neural interface, we can improve the bandwidth between your cortex and your digital tertiary layer in many orders of magnitude, by many orders of magnitude, Elon Musk said. I'd say probably at least 1,000 or maybe 10,000 times more. That's Musk, okay? Long-term, Musk claims that Neuralink could allow humans to send concepts to one another using telepathy and exist in a saved state after they die that could then be put into a robot or another human being. I've taken things from all sorts of articles there, folks, okay? So, all right, well, what's interesting, now we have both Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, both transhumanists, both into AI and big time into all this technocratic stuff. You know, now big players in with close to Donald Trump. In fact, Donald Trump's eldest granddaughter says that billionaire Elon Musk has reached uncle status to her. The CEO of SpaceX, Tesla, and X has been at the president-elect's side for at least a week after holing up at his Mar-a-Lago residence. On Sunday, Kai Trump, who is his 17-year-old, the oldest granddaughter of President Trump, you know, posted images with Elon Musk and so on and made a comment, and she sees him like an uncle. So Musk has been with Trump pretty much since the election. And Trump even handed his phone to Elon Musk to talk to Zelensky from the Ukraine, which kind of seems interesting. So you have these people, big potential players close to Trump, technocrats, you know. Why do Christians not see that as alarming? The people that are thinking having Donald Trump there is such a great thing. I'm saying we should be kind of worried there's something else going on here, like I said at the beginning. Maybe it's this tie-up between Trump and these billionaires, these AI guys, that's going to forward the whole beast system and the control grid and all that, and that may be a part of what's going on here. Also, another person, you know, that's close to Trump is Stephen Schwarzman, the Blackstone co-founder and chairman. And he was an outspoken Trump supporter throughout the election and is now feeding Howard Lutnick names on who Trump should have in his administration as economic advisors from Wall Street. So Stephen Schwarzman, who was, by the way, a skull and bonesman, is also there in the air. And these kind of people, it should be a little bit worrying. At least, I'm not saying necessarily worrying to some extent, because we don't really know. We have to see what Trump's actually going to do in the real term coming up. But these are just things, question marks I have. So anyway, I've had Eric Stogner on the show a few times. I just want to quote, I've asked him if I could do this, just some stuff he wrote to me in an email, which I think is very well thought out from Eric. Okay, which is it? Are the people supposed to believe their rhetoric leading up to the selection, stating that the system is broken and controlled by a deep state that apparently the Democrats were behind and that the swamp needs to be drained to remove them? Or now are the people supposed to believe that the people have spoken, that there has been a red wave or a red tide and Trump suddenly has this mandate from the people to fix everything and therefore the voting system isn't bad or rigged? How is it that no one's pointing out that contradiction, that the system is only broken when it doesn't elect our guy, but the system's results are legitimate when they do elect our guy? It can't be both, says Eric. I'll just skip a little bit here. Anyway, he says, things are playing out way too smoothly, following the script that the real deep state wants the masses to follow passively. They are duping the masses and most Christians as well that this is all organic and real when it isn't. He says, I knew Trump would be selected a long time ago. And it's true. Eric said to me months ago Trump was selected. He believed to be the next president. He was adamant on that. Simply because they need to keep rocking the cradle left then right to sink it deeper in the quicksand and bury the baby once and for all. It was Trump that was chosen to play the role as the father of the vax and had to be at the helm when COVID censorship and other draconian measures were put into effect. He wasn't using his great power as the leader of the so-called free world to stand up against the global shutdown. He just kept the whole thing going while appealing to conservatives somehow. And he still has never gotten called out to this day, still touts the vax. And yet people support him. How and why? Because they have simultaneously been driven by all the actions of the useful idiots, the leftist stupidity and wokeness that the conservatives will choose anyone who claims not to be woke. Dispute is obvious contradictions and signs that he too is a globalist advancing the one world agenda. But it takes spiritual eyes to see this reality, spiritual eyes that a lot of Christians don't seem to have. There is one other huge aspect about the Vote, Vote, Vote initiative and why it was aimed so hard at Christians. The propaganda machine wants to make it clear that Trump was the hero and that the Christians wanted for a short season. That will seem like something good. Trump will come in and do a few meaningless token things that will please the Christians, but then he will start doing things that will reveal his true colours and no one will want. Trump will again be the father of some other more draconian thing, even worse than the vax. He will usher in something terrible and huge like the end of cash and the start of true digital IDs that restrict access to food, resources and services. This will come about again in response to a new or worse plandemic or some other global emergency. And then suddenly Christians will be caught in a double bind. Their man will be the bull in the china closet or the Trojan horse. Their man that they trusted so much will be the wrecking ball and they will not be able to distance themselves from him because the leftist media will then start pointing out how it was Christians that were the ones that wanted him so badly. The conservative media and most of their own voices and the pastors all seem to go along with the Trump American hero narrative. Only when he reveals himself to be the false savior he's always been, and suddenly everyone sees that it will be too late to do anything about it, as if voting differently would have made any difference, And the masses will again turn against, the masses will turn against Christians who voted for him into office. See the double bind? The masses will be turned against Christians and will really ramp up the persecution and mockery against the Christian camp. And they'll have a hard time responding or admitting they got it wrong. And the Christians will be massively discredited and divided. What is left of Christianity will be divided and decimated and turn against itself internally. This strong association with Trump, combined with the devastating things he'll inflict on the nation and the world, will make the voice of the church seem wrong in everything it speaks. And then there will be a great demonization and falling away from the faith. Christians will be made the scapegoat and blamed for Trump getting voted into office, and thus the real aim of the deception will happen. The love of many will grow cold, and what is left of the faith will be fractured and destroyed, and the masses will embrace a new saviour, be he from heaven or hell, to pull them out of the morass they will have fallen into. So that's the aim after all said and done, to assault those who try to remain true in the faith that still believe in the actual Christ. There'll be a remnant like us who saw through the lies and never worshipped the false Messiah Trump and who refused to bow down to the false idol of politics. But the remnant will indeed be on a narrow path, and the larger portion of the flock will have been divided as with a sword. So those are Eric's thoughts. Those are not mine. But for the most part, I do agree with him. He has some very good points made there. So, Holly, what are your thoughts?
Okay, after listening to that, Tony, I thought of a couple things. The first thing is, you know, people, they're turning their hearts from the Lord, and we are getting late in the hour. And the Bible talks about how delusions will fall over people in the last days to those that love the lie more than the truth. So as America falls further away from God, we're seeing America start to become into the state that we're seeing it in now. And what I think of is Alice in Wonderland, which I know is a horrible occult movie in a lot of ways. But I saw it as a kid, and I just remember seeing that walrus with all the oysters that were dancing and following this walrus that was playing like some kind of a flute or something, like a Pied Piper. And the oysters were just dancing to their own demise and following him into some cabin where they got eaten. And I honestly can spiritually see how a lot of people are so deceived and under some kind of a delusion. And they're like the oysters. They're just following, some kind of delusion. And they need to wake up and come out of it. It's so important that you spend time and be alone with the Lord and be in his word. Even though we see all this stuff happening, we're here for a reason, because God has a plan and a purpose for us to be here. There's two scriptures that came to mind, which is John 10:28-29. And for the King James Version, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So no matter what the enemy is doing in this evil, wicked, and perverse age, we know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and he is our shelter, our strong tower, our sanctuary. Like, we go to him for our protection, and we hear his voice, and nothing that the enemy tries to throw at us is going to be able to pluck us from his hand. The other scripture was John 17:9-10, and it's Jesus talking, and I believe he was praying to the Father. And he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine," meaning the Father's, "and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." So we are, as the true remnant believers, bringing glory to the Lord through just us trusting in him and being faithful to him, even when things are going crazy, like we're still lights to the world, like he asks us to be. We still have a reason we're here. Which actually leads to the last thing that I really wanted to share about Jonah. I was praying and I flipped to this morning, and I wasn't sure about why I was reading this morning as I was praying, but I feel like the Lord was sharing Jonah chapter 4, verses 10 to 11 today for everybody. And it says here, "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And I really believe that the Lord was saying that there's so many people that they can't discern their right hand from their left hand. They are under some kind of delusion. They're lost. And, you know, Jonah wanted to give up and be like, I don't care to deal with all that. I just want to run away from this, you know, burden and jump on a boat. But everybody knows the story of Jonah. And, you know, just be out of Jonah's obedience, he went and, you know, he preached to Nineveh and they all repented. And we are late in the hour, but there still is a harvest and we still have work to do. And there are people that need to know the truth and who Jesus is. They need to know about salvation. And I just felt led to share that with everybody today. So even if you feel like we're overwhelmed with what we're seeing, we should still be rejoicing because we have this opportunity right now to go and preach the gospel and be lights to the world and be obedient to the Lord and be lights to a perishing world, but that they could have that eternal life, that nothing will pluck them out of God's hands. They can hear the gospel and be saved. I hope that's encouraging.
That's a great way to finish. Yes, absolutely. Well, folks, I know this has been kind of a bit of a heavy dissertation on the whole thing, and we will have to have time tell us what happens. But meanwhile, you know, we get on with life, and as I said, perhaps there'll be a little bit of a breathing space anyway for a while, and I'll be glad to see the end of the Democrats anyway, in spite of the fact that I have reservations about what's coming. And we must all trust God anyway, no matter what. So thanks, Holly.
God bless everybody.
And folks, don't forget to make sure you subscribe to us and visit our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And if you're able to like the video or wherever you're watching it or listening to the audio, that would be much appreciated. And we do run it 100% by donations if anyone wants to donate. To help, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. Well, God bless, and God willing, we'll be back again with another episode in a few days' time.